Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us from IBM is Angela Carrington.
So, Nick, acquisition really is a fiduciary responsibility, and the federal government business must be conducted in a way that has complete impartiality. So can you talk about kind of your efforts to pursue procurement integrity, making sure that the standards of conduct are upheld, ethical and legal requirements, and, you know, how those are being followed by your staff, you and your staff?
Yeah, I do think that this is the cornerstone and is very important. It's very important for the American public to know and believe that we're awarding contracts with integrity, and that we have the highest level of ethics that we follow. So, very specifically, everybody in the contracting community, by nature, is they hold the line on this. It is so critical to have a professional contracting community. In my career, I've been fortunate enough to visit some countries that are trying to establish public procurement systems. So that would be countries where, you know, the government, they give the money, here's to my brother, my uncle, and so forth and so on. What I can tell you about the United States acquisition system and the contracting folks in that system, you may get an one news story from one knucklehead out there who does something weird, but by and large, our folks act with really, they're just phenomenal when it comes to ethics. What do we do specifically? We have annual procurement ethics training. There is procurement integrity that's involved in every one of our procurements. I would say leadership example. So the way you carry yourself as a leader in the organization flows down through your folks. And again, there can be the occasional, the word I used was knucklehead, who does something weird, but the system works. It really does work.
So let's talk about, you know, kind of training and the workforce. And 36% of the procurement workforce is eligible for retirement in 2014. And I understand that the number of acquisition professionals has really remained flat, but contract spending has doubled, which is amazing. So given this challenge and this situation, how have you really made sure that you've kept your workforce well-trained to meet the mission challenges?
Yeah, that's very, very well put. I think it was before the wars, we as a government were spending contracting for about $200 billion. And then after that, it rose up to beyond $500 billion. And now it's come down slightly. I think it's slightly below $500 billion. So your point is well taken. The workload has increased. The workforce has been relatively flat. And not only is it flat, but now we have 36% of the folks. And by the way, that's a growing number because when the recession hit, folks stayed on. So that percentage is actually growing, and we haven't seen the 1 year where you see the mass exodus. So the natural question is, okay, so what are you doing about it? And it's very challenging because if 36% walked out the door, we would be in a world of hurt. Now, what we see is that that typically isn't the case, right? So what we have, what I have as part of our office, the Chief Procurement Office in DHS, is we have sort of an intern program. And we have been developing for the last several years folks through a rotational, 3-year rotational program. That ultimately develops them into contracting officers or program managers that are then placed in the components. We have to date placed 200, and we have about 50 in the program now, and we'll be building that number up to try to replenish the workforce as it goes as time goes on. One other point though is training the workforce. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time and energy in training the folks that come on board. And then I guess the last part I would just say is, we have 36% retirement eligible, 30% with 1 to 5 years, and some in the middle. we're probably if we see any mass exodus, we're going to probably have to get even better at recruiting folks from the private sector to come into government.
So, Nick, with respect to the Chief Acquisition Officer Council, I was wondering, how do you use that as a cross-agency best practices repository? How do you guys work together?
Yeah, first of all, very happy that it exists. And it so there is acquisition or contracting going on in every federal agency, all three branches of the government, and it is this council that brings us all together at specific moments in time, and typically we meet monthly to talk about cross-cutting issues. So I'll just give you one example of something that came out that's that I actually like because it jives with one of my priorities, and that was all the Mythbusters campaigns that that came out of came out of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, and the head of that is the chair of the Chief Acquisition Officers Council. But it's things like that. It's things like, for instance, we've got a benchmarking effort going on now where certain like 6-7 metrics will be looked at, and we'll be able to see how other agencies are doing against those metrics, and then we can have a real productive discussion. That you can always learn from benchmarking in the public sector as well as in the private sector. It's something that I've done throughout my career, which gives you you will always learn something that you can integrate into what you're doing.
Great. So you've mentioned throughout the conversation the workload that you folks actually do to meet the mission of DHS and support it from a mission support function standpoint. I'm wondering, given the workload, the stress level, coupled with the environment of fiscal austerity, how do you keep folks' morale up, and what are you doing in that area?
Yeah, so I guess I would start out by just sharing our employee satisfaction figures. And a point that I do want to make is while it's no secret that DHS has been sort of overall lower compared to other agencies, at least last year in the employee satisfaction survey. However, our world, the procurement world, is actually pretty high. Mm-hmm. And when you compare it to other procurement organizations, it's actually high. So let me tell you why I think it's high. number one, we have our folks are just incredibly mission-driven. When you are buying things and you can see the impact on how they protect people and allow us to rest peacefully at night, that in and of itself gives you satisfaction. What do I do as a leader? Number one, clear direction, a strategic plan with metrics. Once we have finished a year summarizing those metrics and those accomplishments on one page in an annual progress report, updating the metrics, sending it out to everybody electronically, going behind it and speaking to everybody, recognizing individuals with my personal recognition for work that they did to move the metrics in the right direction. I also send out no more than 24 times a year something I call called Did You Knows, and they are always informative around the metrics and things that we're doing across the components. And you know what? Just good old-fashioned walking around, saying hi to people, being interested in them, and really showing and demonstrating that you care about the profession and you care about them. Last point I'll say on this subject, standing up and really demonstrating true leadership. Mm-hmm. So in the last couple of years, we had a lot of bumps, and I'll just kind of mention sequestration. Yeah. A lot of folks were afraid. It is true that there were places and agencies in the government where people got furloughed. That is the time that leaders should step up and demonstrate that they care about their employees. And, you know, I'm very grateful that we didn't have any adverse actions for our employees. I'm very grateful.
So, Nick, as we turn to the future, I'd like you to think about what are some of the opportunities you envision your organization will encounter, and how do you think you'll evolve to meet those opportunities and seize them?
I think the opportunity that I see is, if I had to pick just one, it would be how can we take communicating with industry even one more level further? And the reason I say that is because the more you can know what's going on out there in industry, and the more you can marry that up with what you see as being the next threat. And therefore, you can then start to begin this acquisition process if it's even necessary. Remember, at the end of the day, what we're doing day and night at Homeland Security is thinking about ways to protect against bad folks who are thinking day and night of new ways to attack our wonderful country.
So, Nick, what advice would you give someone who is thinking about a career in public service?
Well, I'm a bit of a salesman when it comes to public service, so I'm not going to give you the full sales pitch, but I would explain to them how they can earn a living, because that is very important, and everybody wants to know that, how you can do something that is very much worthwhile, and then I would share my personal experiences, more than 20 years of public service, which has been incredibly satisfying. I'll just share one thing. Sure. Anytime I've been to a job fair and I talk to somebody about a job opening that we had, almost 100% closure.
Actually, as a follow-up, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, you have your PhD, and were you working then? How did you get to, if you don't mind.
No. In a nutshell, I graduated from the University of Maryland as a finance and economics major, didn't know what I wanted to do in life. Send out letters to 80 different companies. One came back as a contracts administrator with a private company, bid on contracts, left that company, went to work for a small company, did everything there, bid on contracts, won contracts, left there, came into the government as a contract specialist with the National Science Foundation, $1 billion agency with about 1,000 people, very well run. A science and math agency, granting agency, left there to go to the Internal Revenue Service as a contract specialist. At that time, IRS was going from 50 to 500 people in their procurement organization because they were trying to modernize tax collection, which ultimately resulted at least in one thing most people can understand, which is e-filing, right? And as the contracting organization was going from 50 to 500, the leader wanted to create a training organization, and I raised my hand. And ultimately, the organization that I created that started out with me became this thing called the Treasury Acquisition Institute. And today, it's trained 100,000 acquisition professionals in 17 federal agencies and continues on. Left there and actually worked in family business, was never going to come back to government, and got a call from the IRS, found myself working on a special project for the commissioner. There was a disgruntled taxpayer who flew a plane into one of our IRS buildings, if you recall, yes. And so I was the head of a review of physical security. That then somehow segued and got me here to DHS and being the chief procurement officer for the last 3.5 years.
That's a wonderful testament. Yeah. That's the best advice.
Along the way, Michael, I would just say, I picked up a couple two, three degrees, and also have taught for four universities business supply chain management classes over the last decade. Yeah.
Well, Nick, thanks for coming in again. It's great to have you here. You have an open invite. But more importantly, Angela and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Nick Nyack, Chief Procurement Officer within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. My co-host from IBM has been Angela Carrington. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.